Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Well, let's pray real quick. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for this wonderful day. Lord, we are grateful for the opportunity to come here and serve you and one another, Father. I pray that you help us to tune our hearts now, Father, to hear your words. I pray that you let your word come through me, Lord, and it won't be me, but it'll be you and the Holy Spirit speaking through me. I thank you again for your presence being here with us, Lord. That you always fulfill your promise that when we gather in your name, you are here. And we believe that you're here now. And we're looking forward to hearing your voice. Pray that you bless this message in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, last week we covered sharing your story. That was the kind of title of a sermon. It was a short sermon because it was Mother's Day and we were trying to keep it short. But we talked about testimonies. The week previous to that, we shared testimonies here. And I was talking about the impact and the power of a testimony. So last week I wrote up a short sermon about sharing your story. And I talked about how testimonies in my life were one of the most impactful things that ever happened to me, really. Still are to this day. Sermons are great and books and all that. And when you hear somebody say, this is how God helped me in my life. And if they've been anywhere close to where you are in your life at that point, it's so encouraging, isn't it, to hear somebody else say, I'm going through what you went through or are going through, and I can help you get through it because he's helped me. I talked about how the Bible is really just a bunch of stories that people told about the faithfulness of God, and people wrote them down. And so I talked about how important our testimony is, that you have a testimony. I said in order to share your testimony, you have to know that you've got a testimony. And I want to ask you this morning, how many of you believe that you've got a testimony? Okay, good. I like that, Michelle. I like that. There's a lot of people that don't. I've met many people that think, you know, my life, like I said last week, my life's boring. Nothing really happened. I was born into the church. I was born into a Christian family. That's nonsense. You have a testimony. If you've been reconciled to Jesus Christ, you have a testimony. My children were raised in the church and raised in Christianity, but I know that Wyatt, Luke, and Jack all have a testimony. Because at some point in time, you got to get your own God. You don't just live under your daddy's God or your mama's God. You get your own God. It transfers it. If you're doing a good job as a father and mother, at some point you transfer your relationship with God to them. They have to have their own, don't they? And sometimes that means they have to maybe go through some trials and find out for themselves that God is faithful. And that is where a testimony is born. And we all have one. I didn't say this last week, but I wish I would have, and I'll say it today. It's so important, is that you have your testimony of big things in your life that you know that God helped you. Those are the kind of the bigger testimonies. But your testimony should be growing all the time. It shouldn't stay the same. Because God helps us every day, doesn't he? And so our testimony should always be expanding and growing. We should be able to, I think, write these things down so we can remember the faithfulness of God and share them with people. I made mention last week, people talk have asked me before, here recently, what do you think is like the best way of witnessing to somebody, bringing somebody over to Christ? And I said, I thought it was your testimony. Share your story. Share what God's done for you. And be looking for your testimony to continue to grow. Because he's going to be faithful always, and he's going to help us every day. So, you should always be ready and willing to share what God's done for you. You don't have to do it up here. You don't have to do it in front of everybody, but you need to be giving it to somebody, even if it's just your children. You know, that's one thing I think that we lack a lot is we think our kids are just going to get it by watching us. And sometimes they do. They get some things. But you've got to be specific sometimes and purposeful. Is this thing just cut off? That's on. Is it on? Okay. Might be just battery going in. Anyway, you've got to be, what was the word I'm looking for? Pointed in
telling your kids your own story.
You need to tell your wife your story. You need to tell your husband your story.
You need to tell them about God's faithfulness. Again, sometimes we just look right over our families, don't we? Because we think they just got it. I don't think we look over them like we don't take care of them or we don't care. I'm saying like in this area, you know, I think I try to remind myself often to tell the boys about how God helped me today at work. Because I want to build something in them where they begin to know that their dad knows that God is faithful and they get to see that God is faithful in their father's life. Give your children your testimony. Give your wife. Let your wives give it to your husband. But your testimony is so important. Today, the title of the sermon is Bear Your Fruit. I read John 15 a few weeks ago, and it has just been on my mind. I can't get it out of my head. John 15 is a verse in the Bible that is so rich with so many lessons in it. I just want to preach on it. I might do two sermons on it because there's just so much and I couldn't get through it. But today I want to talk about bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. How many of you know we're called to bear fruit? We're going to find out in just a minute that Christ said, I chose you and I appointed you to bear fruit. Not just fruit, but fruit that lasts. Long-lasting fruit. I'll stop now and just ask you to think in your life, what kind of fruit am I bearing? You know, I'm always going to bring this down. I'm always going to try to make it practical. What fruit am I bearing in my life right now? So let's just turn to John and let's read together. And try to listen to everything that Christ is saying here. He's just got done. He's talking to his disciples. He just got done promising the Holy Spirit. His days are numbered here, Christ is. So I think that he is kind of urgently teaching these things to his disciples. And there's a lot of passion in this. Listen to what he says. He says, John 15:1. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the words I have spoken to you. Stop real quick right there. I've got a note in my Bible that says that in Greek, the word clean means prunes. So we could reread that and say, you are already pruned because of the word I have spoken to you. Let's see. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my word remains in you, ask what you wish, whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. What a verse. Now, remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands, and I remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be complete. I'm sorry, my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. How rich is that? If you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Listen to this. You did not choose me, I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love one another. There's a lot in there. We are called to bear fruit. Fruit that will last. I love the part there where he says, you can choose me. I chose you. How many of you believe that? How many of you know you didn't choose? This isn't even part of my sermon, but how many of you know you didn't choose God? He chose you. He chose you. That's important to know. That's important to know that you didn't just make a decision, that he looked at all of creation and he said, you're mine. You're mine. You're mine. He chose us. And he chose us for the purpose of bearing fruit. Something that looks like him in our lives. What is fruit and how do we bear it? I think there's two types of fruit biblically. There's inward fruit and there's external fruit or outward fruit that you can visibly see. There's inward fruit that is inside of you and really only you know it until it's expressed. But your inward fruit is the fruit that we talked about a few weeks ago. We talked about Galatians 5:22, which was the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, goodness, where am I here? What? Faithfulness, and I said faithfulness. These are inward fruits that the Holy Spirit brings into us that we bear. And then you have the outward fruits, which would be things like that you would know that you may be serving people, loving your wife, loving your children, things that people can see outwardly. Those are outward fruits. How many of you know you can't have the second one without the first one? You can't get those backwards. You can, but it'll just be religion. It won't be real coming from your heart. We're called to bear fruit, both inward and outward in our lives. If you're bearing it inward, you're going to find yourself externally bearing fruit to the world. Why is it so important to bear fruit? It's because it looks like fruit to the world. We have to. That's the whole purpose of your being. That's the whole purpose of my being. It's for us to reflect him in some way in our lives. This is why it's said so many times in the scripture, why it's so important to Jesus. I think it says it 14 times or something in there about bearing fruit. It's so important because he knows that you are what the world is going to see. He chose you as the image bearer to the world. I've said this before and I'll say it again that whatever the world gets is going to come from what you see here. That's what he chose. Now, if you choose not to bear fruit or shine your light, then the world will just not get it. Now, God might find somebody else to use, but you'll be the one who loses out on it. Because that's what you were born for. That's what I was born for, is to reflect the image of the Almighty God. Can you believe that he wants to work in us like that? That he wants to show himself to the world through us? That's an amazing thing. We are called to show or to bear inward fruit, outward fruit. And the inward comes first. You don't want to get those two backwards. Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, outside, on the outside of you, you look pristine. You look so good. They had their robes. They looked beautiful. It looked like their lives were intact. I'm sure they had wives and children. Scripture tells us clearly they would kind of walk through the town with a lot of pomp, their chest sticking out. And Jesus said, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. We've all known people like that. Let me tell you, we've probably all been like that to some degree in our lives. But you know people like that. That's hard, you know. We're called to have it inward. Let me tell you, it's when nobody's looking at it. It's what the real, your real fruit looks like in relationship to God. It's when, the question is, are you doing what's right even when nobody's watching? We are called to bear that kind of fruit, inward and outward. We are expected to bear these fruits. We are commanded to bear these fruits in our lives. In this scripture, Christ tells us to bear this fruit, and he tells us there's a few things that need to happen in order for us to bear fruit. I'm not going to get through all of them today. But the first one is you're going to have to get cut. In 15:1, he says, I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener, and he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. How many of you experienced that before in your life? Where God's cut off things in you that didn't bear fruit. I remember when I first got saved. This happens a lot, this isn't pruning. This is severing forever, permanently. These are branches that bear no fruit in you, and they gotta go. They're holding you back. It's keeping you from looking like an image of God. And so, when I first got saved, I remember you're told as a lost person that when if you come to God, life's gonna get so much better. And then what happens, and it will, eventually. But what happens when you first get saved is he brings out the fuse. For me, I think it was a chainsaw. He brought out the shears, and he begins to cut these things in you that are bearing no fruit. And when you're lost and you first walk into the church and you first get saved, you kind of know that those things are hanging off you. And they need to be cut. But nonetheless, it's confusing. I remember being confused at the time. I remember talking to Pastor Murphy, and I thought that my life was about to get better. And I'll tell you what, it did get better inwardly, it felt like. Like I started to have some peace and some purpose. It was slowly coming into my life. But meanwhile, I felt like God was just chopping, you know, these branches in me that didn't bear any fruit. And listen, that can hurt. And it can be confusing. Some of those things you've had all of your life, they become part of you. You don't want to let them go. And I remember specifically feeling like that about my friends. I remember I felt like God was just cutting off friendships left and right. They were bad friendships. They were my party buddies. You know, we were going out all the time. They were a danger to me in my young Christianity. And my young walk with God. They had to be cut. I understand it now. There's a scripture that talks about Paul. He says, God tells Paul, he said, I'm going to deliver you from the Gentiles to whom I'm sending you to. And we were taught that meant that in order to be able to minister to somebody, sometimes you have to be delivered from them first. Which means to me, you have to be cut. It has to be severed. But it wasn't just my friends, I had family members that I felt like God just... And that was hard for me, Mr. Nurture. It's everything you know. Jesus warned us though, didn't he? He said, I've come to separate.
It'll mess up your theology. He's all about unity. He is unity. But he said, what's going to happen? He said, I'm not doing it. It's going to happen. Is when the Word of God comes into your life, it's going to separate and divide things in your life. Have y'all experienced that? Listen, I'm going to tell you, I don't know anybody that has really got into a relationship with God that didn't lose something that's meaningful to them in their life. I really believe that. I'm not trying to scare you. It turned out to be for the best. But you have to allow him to do his job. And with that, sometimes it's confusing and hurt. I think if you're witnessing to somebody, and you feel like somebody's just coming into their walk with God, we should tell them things could be bad for a moment. I don't think that's a wrong thing to say.
I don't think we should cater too much to people either. I think you just tell them the truth. I mean, that would have helped me, I think, is knowing that this wasn't crazy. And I think Pastor Murphy did tell me. He said, this is what happens sometimes. Some things have to be severed. Let me tell you something. There's nothing worse. There's nothing more sad to me than seeing a mature Christian who's been walking with God for a long time dragging branches along with that they didn't let God cut in their life. It just weighs you down. I'm not beating those people up. I understand. Some things are just too hard. You feel like they are, at least. And because God didn't cut them when you were young, they grew and grew, and now they're just weighing you down. You let him cut a lot of branches in your life. You let him cut a lot of small ones. And there's two things in your life, maybe, that you said you can't sever those to me. They're too important to me. And now you've grown up and you're just dragging these logs around with you. And it's halting your production in the kingdom of God. And I want to tell you today, let him cut them. Let him cut those from your life. Be free from them. It can be a mentality. It can be a person. It can be an addiction. It can be whatever it is, but let him cut those branches and be free in the name of Jesus. Be free. Be set free from this. He can do it in a moment. In a moment. I'm tempted to tell the C.S. Lewis story about the letter. You gotta let him cut it. He cuts off every branch in you that doesn't bear fruit. And then here's the other thing is, as you grow up in Christ and you keep maturing in him and you've walked with him for a long time at this point, it's also confusing because you have branches that are bearing fruit and he still snips it. But that's pruning.
Just a few weeks ago, my wife went out in the front yard and the roses were all sagging down and it was time to prune them. You're cutting these huge roses. They're gone now, but you know what's going to happen with that. It's going to grow back healthier and better. It's better for the whole plant.
So either way, you're getting cut. You're getting cut in the early part of your walk with God, but we always forget a lot of times that we're going to get cut in our later life too, walking with God. I don't think it ever ends. This isn't sometimes you need to be cut. He says every time. You will always be getting cut in some way. That's good to know. So you don't feel like God is forsaking you. He's for us. And it's going to make us healthier. But think about your life right now. Are you being cut? Do you feel like that's Satan? Maybe it's not. Maybe it's God just pruning right now in your life. And what's going to come from that is going to be so much more beautiful and healthy, vibrant and bright. The point is, allow God to do the cutting. Allow him to do it. In fact, say it to him. Tell him, you can have your way with it. You can cut any branch you want in me. David said, search my heart, O God. If there's anything offensive in me, remove it from me at all costs.
I always think about the story in my life of why. I've told the story so many times, but it's too applicable. I've got to tell it. God is, the good news about God cutting you is you can be, you don't have to be afraid because he is a wonderful surgeon. He's perfect in his scalpel abilities. It's perfect. He will cut exactly and only where it needs to be cut.
Our fear is that if you take this away from me, this branch, it's going to kill me. Don't you feel that way sometimes? I feel that way sometimes. If you took that from me, I would die. But this is the God who created you, that he knows so much more than you. Everything that is good in your life comes from him. You have to allow him to let him cut.
But that's our fear. But he is the servant. He is the ultimate, the magnificent servant. And he can go in there and cut just right, just perfect, to remove only what needs to be removed, so what remains will look like him.
But while I was a little boy,
He bit his fingernails all the time on his thumb right here. He was, I don't know, four.
And he would bite him all the time, bite him. He said, well, I thought bite your thumbs, I thought bite your nails. It's gonna get infected, it's gonna get hurt. But how many of you know you can't keep up with a 4-year old, they're gonna do what they're gonna do sometimes. And I remember one night I was laying in the bed, put him down, pulled the covers over him, and he went, ah! And I said, what's wrong? And he said, my thumb hurts, you know. And I pulled it back and it was just nasty. I mean, I don't know how we didn't see it. I think he was hiding it from us.
Infected. Infected. An infection had got into that thumb to where even when the blanket hit it, he was in pain. Well, I knew it had to be done.
So we took him over here to Dr. Anthony, and I hated it. It was my oldest son, and I didn't want him to be hurt. You know, I love him. I feel like that's how God loves us.
But he knows what has to be done. And so he took him in there. I took him in there, and Drew said, he pulled me aside, we're going to have to land again. And I was like, oh man, if the wind hit it, you know, I mean, it hurts it. You have to land it. And he said, yeah. I said, is there not any way we can take antibiotics or anything like that? He said, no, pills ain't going to do it, man. He said, we're going to cut that infection out right now. I said, well, you going to give him a numbing shot or anything? He was like, no, we're just going to cut it. And I was like, oh.
He was like, it's not, he doesn't need that. He said, we'll better, he'll feel better. And I love life. I love all my children.
And so Drew says, you got to hold him down, and why didn't have any idea what was going on. And he said, Daddy, what are they doing? You know, what are they doing, Dad?
What are they doing? And then nurses came in, and he got more nervous. They held his legs down. I said, son, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Holding his arm out like this, and you know, he's in my lap.
Drew grabbed his hand. He said, Daddy, what are they doing? And then it turned into, why are you letting them do this to me? And he was screaming now at the top of his lungs. And I looked over, and Drew took that little scalpel in just one spot. And all the infection.
And Wyatt crying, turned into laughter as he laid on the bed.
He went from screaming to laughing in front of my face. And I felt like that day God said, write that on you. It's going to be something you're going to use in the future.
It had to be done. God knows what has to be done. He knows it better than any of us. He knows what needs to be done with your kids better than you do as parents. He understands us better than we understand ourselves.
And there was no need for numbing. And there was no need for anything else. It just needed to be done. And it cut it in, his mourning turned into laughing
right before my eyes. I feel like that's what will happen to us if we allow God to cut where he needs to cut and let the infection come out and be free and receive the joy. He said, I'm telling you this so that your joy will be complete. Your joy will be complete.
Let him cut where he needs to cut. I know it's scary. I've been through it. My wife's been through it.
My best friends have been through it. I've seen it happen. It's terrifying. It's scary. But it's where the rubber meets the road, and your relationship with God grows to another level. When you allow him to do that, you're done with everything else. You know now. You know he's faithful. You know.
I don't understand it, but the scripture says something about Paul. I don't remember exactly. It says that when someone has suffered in the body, they are done with sin. I don't know what that means exactly, but for some reason it's coming to me right now.
Once you allow God to go and be served around you, it's just like you just grow in your relationship so much and you're so much more stable in God, and you're not dragging around these old branches that don't bear fruit in you.
I want you to be able to bear fruit. God wants you to be able to bear fruit. And in order to do that, we've got to let him take some of the things that we hold dear, but we know maybe are holding us back. There's some things we don't know, and those are the things you need to say what David said. Search me. If there's anything in me, remove it. I want to be with you. And anyone, that's me.
I didn't even get through half my notes, but I'm going to call it there, guys. I might preach on this again next week. There's so much. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing, he said.
Maybe God's telling me the time of the day.
He's called us to bear fruit, and you are going to. You are the glory of God. Our sins hold us back. Our past keep holding us back. And I'm telling you, I believe God is saying there's a day coming when I want you to be free from all of that. Because I'm going to need you. I'm going to need you to be free and have no handles on you. Because I'm going to use you. I think the day is coming. And I think it is more important than it has been before.
We're called to bear fruit. Y'all stand up and let me pray for you real quick. Don't mean to end on mysterious notes.
I love you guys. Thank you for letting me share this morning. And I hope that it hit its mark. Let me pray for you. Lord, we thank you so much for who you are and what you do for us, Lord. Lord, I want to say this morning that you are trustworthy. You are worthy of our lives. And you're worthy of our trust. Father, we walk with you. We know you. Now I pray that you allow us to give you our lives, Lord, in every capacity. That we are willing to stand before you and stand in your presence and say, have your way with me. I will give you everything that I've got. Knowing that whatever you take from us is for our own good. And whatever you give us is also for our own good and to glorify you. I pray, Father, that you bless your people. I pray that you bless the word. And pray that you let everybody have a wonderful week. That they'll shine your light bright. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, everybody. Good morning.